Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Like a night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime.
What a beautiful start to the show this really is on a Sunday evening. I tell you what, I love doing this show just to listen to those dulcet Denver tones. This is the Sheffield United Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. This is our Sunday night fan show special. And right now, it is all about the Blades. Joining me as ever, we have James Shield from the Sheffield Express and Star. Hello, James.
Hello, that's very slow then, that, isn't it?
Isn't it just, mate? It's perfect for a Sunday evening, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. Like I think I said, I'm just going to dim the lights a little, I believe. Just get into the mood.
Yeah. Well, James, every week we come to you, and every time I speak to you, we kind of do the same rhetoric and go through the fact that, oh, it's another great result for Sheffield United, and they just keep proving people wrong. They keep silencing the doubters. What a team this is. Do you know what? I'm going to stop all that now, because we've come to expect it. I think we expected a draw. We expected potentially a victory yesterday at the Emirates. We need to stop doing this team, this manager, this whole process a disservice and say, do you know what? Sheffield United, fully established Premier League team.
Do you know what? I think you've actually got a point there, because, I think the time sort of probably has passed now where we look at Sheffield United and we look at their results and we analyse their performances. And you know, it's been going on for several months now, so I think it's gone beyond the point where we should have, you know, should start talking about them as being a surprise package. And as you say, sort of, you know, almost look a little bit sort of shocked and surprised when we see that they've got another great result. And you've got to say that by now, yeah, they are established certainly this season in the Premier League, and you know that they are where they are by rights. They're deservedly seventh in the table. They're deservedly pushing for a Europa League spot, although as I've said before, you won't get anybody in the actually first term. And you know they are where they are because they're a damn good side.
I know that Arsenal are going through a transitional phase at the moment under Mikel Arteta, but Sheffield United went to the Emirates yesterday and were the superior side for large swathes of the game. Could have counted themselves relatively unlucky, really, to go behind through Gabriel Martinelli's strike. But pretty much, I would say the Blades were a better team. And I know that Chris Wilder came out after the game, didn't he, and said, you know, the first 10 and the last 10 were good, but we needed to work on what happened between that. But I think looking at it, Sheffield United certainly seemed like the, like I said, the more superior side throughout that game.
Well, Arsenal obviously dominated possession, as I think you would expect, an Arsenal team to do against most teams in the Premier League. But before Gabriel Martinelli had scored that goal, I think it's fair to say that Sheffield United had actually created the better chances in what was, until the closing stages, a game of pretty few chances, you've got to say. So, yeah, I think you're right. They could have counted themselves very unfortunate to be trailing at the break. I mean, don't get me wrong, Arsenal had their sort of, you know, good periods in the game, and there were moments when they were on top. And to be honest, they were probably on top towards the end of the first half. But I thought Sheffield United overall started and finished the game the better of the two sides. I think just going back where you said there, you're quite right as well to mention that Arsenal are a team in transition, and a lot of people will probably look at that and think, well, you know, that might take a little bit away from what Sheffield United are doing. But you can actually say the same thing about Chris Wilder and his squad. They're a team in transition as well. And when I say that, I don't mean in terms of personnel, because that stayed pretty steady. But, you know, this is a team that in 2016 was playing in League One. And so their transition, if you like, is, you know, actually having to sort of constantly meet the new challenges that are put in front of them as they've moved through the divisions. They're, you know, they're in transition. They're almost looking to develop themselves as a Premier League club and to sort of establish a foothold, which they have done in the division. And, you know, and again, and I'll say this, you know, I mean, some Arsenal fans might sort of roll their eyes and sort of, you know, yawn a little bit and groan when I say this, but it is a fact. You've got to say as well, Arsenal's transition is aided by the fact. I think my sort of back of a fag packet math yesterday was that there was about two, that squad cost about £282 million to assemble, which is far, far more, you know, than the resources which have been placed at Chris Wilder's disposal. So I think both sides are in transition. One side has obviously been, you know, or will be helped through that process by a pretty hefty checkbook. Again, I know a lot of Arsenal fans will say, you know, perhaps not enough money's been spent on the squad. And dare I say, perhaps they've probably got a point as well when you look at what's available to them. But, you know, you've got to balance that against what Sheffield United have got. So I think it's important to sort of put this result yesterday into context.
Oh, mate, 100%. That's 16 away points as well this season. That's the joint highest since the opening, the inaugural Premier League campaign back in 92-93. A couple of big moments from the game that I suppose we need to discuss. First one, John Fleck again. That's his seventh goal involvement this season, his fifth goal. Great finish. Yes, deflected, but a lovely little finish.
It absolutely was. And do you know what? I was really, really pleased to see him score a goal like that, because that was all about technique. You know, I mean, I've done a piece in the paper just talking about the way that he sort of just adjusted his position and sort of arced his back to make sure he was in the right sort of frame, if you like, to actually sort of score that goal and finish it. And I know he did sort of hit it into the turf, but I thought the technique to put that away, you know, was really superb. Why I say I was pleased to see him score a goal like that is because, you know, I think it just goes to show the quality that this player's got. It wasn't him sort of running, bursting through the lines, if you like, and getting on the end of a cross. You know, that was all about quality, calibre and technique. And I found out something quite interesting after the game, actually, because I raised this point with Chris in his post-match press conference. And he did remind me that John Fleck had actually started out as a youth team player at Rangers, actually as a centre forward. So, you know, and has sort of, you know, gradually sort of drifted back into midfield as his career has gone on. But I think the other reason as well, I was really pleased to see John score that goal, and why I think his sort of form in the opposition box is really, really crucial this season. That takes him to five, which I know it doesn't sound an awful lot of goals, but, you know, that is more than he has scored in any other season in his senior career. And I think it's interesting that he's doing that in the English Premier League, which you've got to say is one of the toughest competitions in Europe. And if there has been a criticism that has been levelled at John, quite rightly as well, when you see that type of technique throughout his career, is that he's not scored enough goals. And I think now he's added goals to his repertoire, I think you're beginning to look at now somebody who almost is the sort of the complete midfielder, if you like. And again, it was interesting to hear Chris talking yesterday about this, where he said, you know, he's not somebody who subscribes to sort of, you know, the categories that a lot of people like to give to midfielders these days, defensive midfielder, attacking midfielder, sort of, you know, a continuity player. He said, John is somebody who can do it all, because he's a tenacious little so-and-so at times as well in the middle of that park. And, you know, I think what he is, he's just a proper midfielder. He's an all-round midfielder. And I would be really, really surprised if Sheffield United, who have mentioned to him about the possibility of signing a new contract, don't accelerate those talks, because what he's doing in the Premier League right now, it won't be going unnoticed.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd like to think he'd know where the back of the net is, considering, you know, he comes from a decent generation of footballers, Robert Fleck being his uncle, of course, former Rangers and Norwich striker. But it was Mike Dean's 500th Premier League game, of course, yesterday, James. And pretty much you'd like to think it went without too much focus on him individually. There was a funny moment that he always likes to bring us, of course, when Ollie McBurney was down. I think the Sheffield United physio came on and he made it quite clear, Mike Dean, as to where the injury was for poor Ollie. He'd been hit just somewhere in between his legs, which was unfortunate for him. But the penalty, James, now let's talk about this. This is something that went to VAR, Pepe brought down, and I have to say, it looked like a stonewaller for me.
Do you know what? I actually think not. And this was interesting yesterday because, you know, obviously, as you know, we get the replays of this in the press box, and, you know, we do talk and everybody sort of looks at each other and discusses what they think. And it was split, actually, right down the middle between those of us who thought that's never a penalty in a million years and, you know, people on the other side of the fence, such as yourself, Matt, who clearly thought it was. All I can say is, listen, I think, as you know, and people have listened to this show before, I'm not a fan of VAR. And I don't think it was needed in that instance, because I think Mike Dean got that decision absolutely right. I know there was a little bit of contact there, but as far as I was aware, football was still a contact sport, and they've not changed the laws where it says that it can be a contact sport everywhere but in the inside one of the two penalty boxes. And you know what? I just think if we start giving penalties for that type of thing, and I know you'll disagree, so feel free to talk and shout over the top of me, but I just think if we're going to start giving penalties for those type of things, you may as well now, we've reached the sort of entered the territory where managers may as well say to their defenders, as soon as you're inside the penalty area or your own penalty area, just do not make a challenge. Do not make a challenge, because if you make a challenge, I think you're bound to make contact. I know he didn't necessarily win the ball, but I just think it was one of those. It was a coming together, and I think you're going to get those in games of football.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, I think that the reason it probably wasn't given was that the training leg was there and then it was taken away, which is sometimes, I think, a clever tactic by defenders and goalkeepers as well, who rush out and go to dive. And then as the player touches the ball, they suddenly remove their arms. Now, could that be construed as obstruction? I don't know. But Pepe clearly thought the leg was coming. I don't think it's a dive from Pepe, because I think your natural momentum takes you over because you think that training leg's going to come. So I do think it was a penalty. But hey, this is the beauty, by the way, James, and this is why we don't like VAR, because it gives us these talking points. And with VAR, we shouldn't actually have these talking points, because the whole point of VAR is to eliminate the talking points, and it gives us nothing to talk about. But now we're talking about the fact that VAR are getting decisions wrong. It's completely bonkers.
Absolutely. And this is what we've gone into, isn't it, in the past, where I think all they've done is just introduce another layer of subjectivity into the whole decision-making process. So it just gets even more confused. I tell you what, I do enjoy having the last word, so forgive me. What I will say is, I do take your point, actually, about, you know, defenders sort of sticking their leg out and then drawing it away. I think you've also got to balance that against the fact that, is it a foul? And I'm not saying necessarily so in this instance, but is it a foul if a striker or a midfielder or another player who's attacking into the penalty box sees a leg there and decides to run into it?
No, of course it's not. Yeah, I get you. I'm going to leave you with the last word, James. Don't worry, I'm not going to come back at you. I'm going to let you have it on this occasion. It is Manchester City next for Sheffield United. We've got Adam Waring from City Extra up talking about that. Love Sport. It's the Sheffield United fan show here on Love Sport. And me, Matt Beadle, joined by James Shield of the Sheffield Express and Star. Now, James, we're going to look forward now to the game against Manchester City on Tuesday. Pep Guardiola's City drawing, of course, with Crystal Palace yesterday, coming to Bramall Lane for the first time since an FA Cup tie in January 2008. And dare I say it, Sheffield United won on that occasion. So there we go. Omens are good.
They certainly are. I think what I will say is it's probably a very different Manchester City side, isn't it?
Just a little bit different, mate. I have to say that Daniel Sturridge scored for City on that day.
That's right. That's right. They were in transition at that point, and I think they've been on a pretty sort of, you know, regular upward curve ever since then, haven't they? Although the last couple of weeks, they probably want to forget.
They will indeed. On the line now, we have Adam Waring as well, joining us from City Extra. Hello, Adam.
Hello.
I think the line is not quite right with Adam. We'll come back to Adam in a moment or two. But James, yes, so a decent record, I suppose you'd say, against City over the years. In terms of Premier League history, like you say, it's completely bonkers. You can't hold anything into it because it's entirely different teams. I think we've got Adam back on the line now. Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Hi, mate. Thanks for joining us. We were just talking about the last time City went to Bramall Lane in the FA Cup in 2008. Long time ago, so you can't really compare the team from then to now. Of course, Daniel Sturridge scoring on that day, mate, and John Stead even scoring for Sheffield United. So, yes, both teams have come a heck of a long way since then. A draw yesterday for the Citizens. How do you feel about going to Bramall Lane? Sheffield United not been too bad this season, mate.
Yeah, it's a tough place to go. I've watched Sheffield United. I wouldn't say I'm an expert on it, but I've seen them a few times this season when they played at their place. And they're just like they were at the Etihad. They're organised. They can pass really well through the press, which I saw them do at the Etihad pretty well. And yeah, it's gonna be a tough game. They're gonna make it really difficult for us. But I'd like to think that considering the result yesterday, we're going to be really up for it, and we're going to really, really make sure that we need to get back to winning ways. So I'd like to think that we've got enough, but no, they're a good side, like I say.
Do you think that's a fear, James, the fact that there will be a backlash, or do you think that Chris Wilder can take heart from that performance at the Etihad just a few weeks ago?
I think you can look at it in one or two ways, can't you? Because Adam will probably sort of tell me if I'm wrong on this. I seem to remember that City hadn't had a great result. In the match before, United went to the Etihad last month, and you know, obviously they responded pretty well there. I think, you know, on the flip side though, Chris Wilder and the players, I think they'll take heart from their performance that they put in there, because I think, you know, listen, City's quality probably showed towards the end of the game, but I think before then, you know, there was a couple of decisions. We won't talk about VAR again, but obviously that was involved in rolling out a goal for Lees Moussai. Then there was what you might want to call a nice assist from the referee when he impeded John Fleck, you know, which sort of pretty much gifted a centre forward of Sergio Aguero's quality the opening goal. So although they didn't enjoy it at the time, and you know, the manager had a face like a smack backside in the press conference at one point afterwards, because he's not somebody who likes to lose, and I think that's a great thing. I actually think when the dust settled on that, they'll have taken a lot of heart from that. And do you know what? Just the one reason why I'm really looking forward to this game as well, and I was really looking forward to the last one, is that everybody knows what Pep Guardiola has brought to, you know, not only the Premier League, but to football in general. And, you know, in their own sort of, he's rewritten the rules of football in their own sort of, you know, probably less glamorous way. I think the way Sheffield United have gone about their business and the way they set up and the way they play has done that in a much sort of smaller and less spectacular way. But I think you've got two managers here and two teams who, you know, they've got a real identity about them. They know what they're doing. They know what they stand for. And I just think that makes for a really good, you know, really good game of football. And it's two sides as well that you know are going to attack.
Agree with that, Adam?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I reiterate that. I like it when the City play teams that have an identity. Even Burnley have an identity. They stick to it. They know what they're going to do. I enjoy playing teams like that know who they are, and they know what they're going to be like. Sheffield United, like I said, I was really impressed with one of the best teams that I've actually seen at the Etihad this season in terms of being organised, but then also actually wanting to pass out when they did get the ball. A lot of teams come to the Etihad and just sit back, and as soon as they get it, they boot it up. Look at Everton, they give it back to Pickford, and it was going straight up and straight back towards us, whereas Sheffield United were actually trying to play the ball out and broke our press quite a few times, particularly in the first half. And I was really impressed with the way they played. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it in that respect as well, because we know they are a good side. So it's not a matter of us just going there and expecting the 3 points. It's going to be an interesting game against a well set up side, and I really respect the manager, and I respect the way that the team are playing at the minute. They're a really good unit, and there's no real big egos in there. They're all a proper good team and a good unit. I like that.
Frailties at the back as well, Adam, kind of highlighted again this weekend. Seems to be the case now. It's a bit topical, isn't it? It's kind of the buzz thing to chat about with regards to City and the frailties at the back this season. We saw it again yesterday against Palace. Is that a concern going into the game on Tuesday?
I think it should be, of course. The fact that we've been leaking goals over the past couple of months should always be a worry. But I think we've just got to really concentrate on getting our attacking right, because if we go forward in the way that we can do and we finish the chances that we create, then it shouldn't really matter. We can afford to concede one or two goals. We've done that over the past couple of seasons. You know, we've had really good defensive records over the past couple of years because we've gone forward so well. And if you've got the ball and you're creating chances, then you're not conceding chances. Whereas at the minute, we've not been the best going forward as well. So it's actually made us more nervy, because without, for example, yesterday, we should have scored way before Palace got that opening goal. And the game probably might have been put to bed by then. So if we don't go forward well enough, then we're likely to concede goals, and then we're then not likely to score them afterwards, because teams will defend. So we really should be concentrating on our attacking more than our defending. We don't need to defend to win games, really.
Absolutely not. Adam, thank you very much for coming on this evening. Just a quick one. I'll get a score prediction from you before you go.
Ooh, put me on the spot. I'm going to say 2-1 City. I think we'll concede, but I think we'll win the game, but not too comfortably.
2-1 City. Thank you very much. That was Adam Waring there from City Extra. James, it just goes to show, doesn't it, that we got a Man City fan on the line there who's basically saying that he loves the way Sheffield United play and he thinks ultimately that the City are going to get a narrow victory against Sheffield United.
Yeah, I think that really goes to show how far Sheffield United have come, doesn't it? You know, and it was nice to sort of hear him say, you know, that they were one of the better sides that he's seen at the Etihad this season. And do you know what? I think contributes to that as well. And, you know, I mean, I'm not a Manchester City supporter, but the one thing that I do like about them is that they'll always have a go. They'll always try and attack a game of football. And as I said earlier, that's something that Sheffield United will do as well. And quite rightly so, because if you look at the quality of the attacking players, let's take this game on its own, that Manchester City can bring to the table. What is the point of playing attack versus defence against them? Because you're going to get beat. If you invite pressure, you will get beaten by Manchester City. So, you know, Sheffield United will look to sort of gnaw away at some of those defensive frailties that they've got. I think it's fair to say Manchester City will probably dominate the possession in the game, but it's what you do with it that counts, isn't it? So, you know, yeah, I think I'm really looking forward to the game. And it was really sort of good and pleasing to hear that as well, because, you know, we all support and follow and report on different teams, don't we? But I think most football fans can appreciate, you know, the good in most teams that they come and watch, and can appreciate in respect for a good opposition team as well, even though we might not always like to admit it.
I think as well, James, to be fair, any team facing Man City from now until the end of the season in the Premier League has got a chance, because this is a team now 16 points, of course, away from any kind of hope of the title, which absolutely is not going to happen. And they've got the FA Cup after you find sales against Fulham. Then it's the EFL Cup second leg against United. They're just going to want to ensure that they seal that victory, of course, have a 3-1 first leg lead going into that second leg. And then it's the Champions League with Real Madrid. All those eggs for Pep Guardiola are in that Champions League basket. So you'd like to think that Sheffield United might just get a Man City side in the Premier League that have their eye on other competitions.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that I will say, though, is I'm sure you'll probably see Pep Guardiola sort of perhaps changing his starting 11 around a little bit over the next few weeks. But, you know, that's still one hell of a squad he's got at his disposal there. And the one thing I'm sure he won't want to do is, you know, I don't think you can turn on form on and off like a tap, can you? So whatever team he puts out there, you know, even though the Premier League probably isn't a priority, or certainly the title isn't a priority anymore, it's probably not even attainable. But, you know, he's not going to want to go into those Champions League games, or go into an FA Cup tie, or probably, you know, in all seriousness, the League Cup final on the back of a defeat or a few dodgy results, is it? You know, he'll want to keep that momentum going. So I think he'll be taking this game at Bramall Lane just as seriously as he would have been had Manchester City been a point clear or a point behind Liverpool.
Yeah, indeed. And before you go, James, just quickly, you're down our ends next weekend, mate. Millwall at the Den, Just a few short minutes away from my lovely home, mate. So I might pop along and say hello. But yes, a big FA Cup tie. Millwall doing very well in the Championship at the moment, just outside those playoff spots. This one is not going to be straightforward.
No, not at all. And this is another game I'm really looking forward to. I keep saying that, don't I? Trust me, there are some ones that I don't. But no, it's got sort of all the ingredients of a great cup tie, this, isn't it? I mean, it's two teams that will know each other pretty well, because obviously they faced each other last season. But it's two teams that are both in good form, and both know what they're doing as well. We spoke about identity a couple of minutes ago, and they've certainly both got one of those. And, you know, I think this is going to be a really tricky game for United. Millwall will look at this and possibly think, with the changes that Chris Wilder will, you know, almost certainly make, that they can get something from the game. Sheffield United will be thinking that we should be going through because we're playing a Championship club. But you know what? On top of all of that, and despite what everybody says, I always enjoy going to Millwall as well, just as a ground. I think it's a proper football club, isn't it? It's a down-to-earth football club. And do you know what? I really like that. I whisper it quietly because, again, I'm not a Millwall fan, but I... I really enjoy my trips to the Den, so I'm looking forward to this one.
It is a top trip, mate. I'll just give you a little bit of local advice. Manz's Pie and Mash, mate. Get yourself down there for some pie mash and liquor, mate. It's the best you get in the country. James, thank you very much for joining us for another week. That was James Shield from the Sheffield Express and Star there, just talking all things Sheffield United on this, the Sheffield United Fan Show. They host Manchester City in the week, and then, like we said just there, a trip to the Den in the FA Cup next weekend. We'll give you all the reaction to that next week. Sheffield United Fan Show, 9 p.m. here on Love Sport.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.